This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. Troops and trainers, all the king's horses and all the president's men putting Iraq back together again.
What we're trying to do here is bring the Sunnis into the fold, bring them into the tent so that they can join with the Iraqi government, with the Iraqi security forces, and defeat ISIL.
Pentagon spokesman Colonel Steve Warren explaining the new mission in Iraq. President Obama has authorized up to 450 more American military trainers to help the Iraqi army retake the city of Ramadi from ISIS, the so-called Islamic State. If you gaze at the map of the Middle East right now, especially around Syria and Baghdad, it's a geographic fantasy, really. The absurd borders and teetering nations depicted do not reflect the reality of ISIS territory, the autonomous Kurdish region, and the Iraqis increasingly associated with Shiite Iran. The U.S. still imagines an inclusive, multi-sectarian Iraq in its mission to train the Iraqi military to retake the city of Ramadi. But is that even reasonable at this point? We spoke to Nicholas Pelham, a writer for the New York Review of Books and The Economist, just recently returned from Baghdad. He says there is one significant positive development on the ground, and that is the street life of Baghdad itself, under Iraqi President Haider al-Abadi.
One of the astonishing things about Baghdad is just the resilience of its civil society, perhaps because those authorities which do exist in the country are so focused on pursuing their turf wars. There's actually that's left some space for people in the rear just to get on and live their lives. And the bars in Baghdad, at least in parts of Baghdad, are flourishing and are full. There are concerts all over the place. There are book fairs. The book market every Friday in Mutanabbi Street is thronged. It's really quite an exciting cultural life in Baghdad, and it's something which very much surprises visitors who would expect to see a harrowed, hollowed-out population. Just the ability of that civil society to continue to flourish is quite remarkable, and I think that's what many hoped that Haider al-Abadi would represent. He doesn't have a military background himself. He dodged his enlistment under conscription under Saddam Hussein. He comes from a part of Baghdad which people still recall as being a multi-faith society at a time when Christians and Jews and Shias and Sunnis all found a way not just of coexisting, but of creating kind of vibrant, dynamic life. And I think there are many who would love to recover that today. It's just they aren't the forces who have the arms.
Do you see this as a partitioned Iraq, basically back to the state that it was in under the Ottomans?
There's still a central financier, the oil revenues which accrue to Iraq, which and Iraq is currently pumping at record levels, really go to provide for all three centers of gravity. The finance goes to the Kurds, it goes to pay salaries under Islamic State control, and of course the bulk of it heads to the south and to Baghdad, which is the Shia center of gravity. So there is still a central mechanism holding it together, but that aside, politicians and tribal leaders and religious leaders are very much going in separate directions, and it's really hard to see today how there is anything remotely resembling a unified country in what used to be called Iraq.
You describe Baghdad as seeming to be the center of a Shiite state in the southern Iraq. Is it the case that ISIS, the ISIS territory, the so-called Islamic State, is functioning like a Sunni capital, a Sunni territory?
In some ways, it all boils down to if you're not with us, you're against us. Shia politicians tell their flock that the Sunnis are coming. Sunni politicians tell their flock that the Shia are coming. And yes, I think many Sunnis in Iraq would look to their authorities, Islamic State, as being their first line of defense. It's still the case that hundreds of thousands have fled their rule, but for those that remain, they look like the authority on the ground. They look like the first line of defense. They act like a government. And the more that the authorities in Baghdad trumpet the arrival of Shia militias as somehow liberators, I think the more Sunnis are going to look to their own to retreat within their own ranks. And yes, this is what is essentially these are the sinews that are pulling Iraq apart.
Do you think there's some sort of scenario where this becomes a kind of equilibrium, assuming the U.S., you know, at some point concedes territory to ISIS, and there's no reason to believe that. Does anyone in the region believe that an ISIS state of one kind or another can coexist in the territory of Syria and northern Iraq alongside some Shia-driven state directed from Baghdad? Or is this really an explosive situation that can't be stable under these terms?
I think it certainly can't be stable under the current terms. nobody has an immediate plan for retaking Sunni strongholds in Iraq. The longer that Mosul remains as the center of the caliphate, the Islamic State, the more durable it seems, the more part of the regional architecture it seems. Islamic State can still control a huge swathe of the Fertile Crescent, not just in Iraq, but also in Syria. And there are some who are wondering, is there an element within Islamic State which can be pragmatic? It seems that they can cut local deals when it comes to financial issues. They, for instance, give laissez-passer for Shia truck drivers to come and traffic out oil and take it elsewhere in the country. And they seem to be fighting a fairly tactical war inside Iraq. You know, they're not at the moment targeting the prime infrastructure in the country. They're trying to expand their influence predominantly in Sunni areas. I think there's a sense that there's such a long history of Sunni rule in this part of the world that it's become so difficult for them to come to terms with anything resembling Shia majority rule that they would rather consolidate inside their own turf. And it may be that their primary challenge is as much to neighboring Sunni states as it is to Shia rule in Baghdad. So within Iraq itself, it is possible that you could see some form of crystallization of the current status quo. Yes, the boundaries might move, the borders would move, but I think these three primary building blocks of Iraq look as if they're going to be part of the architecture for a considerable amount of time to come.
So we heard Colonel Steve Warren talking about retaking Ramadi. Does that have any significance whatsoever if Iraqi forces would retake Ramadi with the U.S. help?
It would have huge significance. Ramadi is the capital of one of the three Sunni Arab provinces. It would mark a significant setback to rolling back Islamic State, as both the Iraqi government and the United States say that they are committed to. And Ramadi is still a much larger provincial capital than was Tikrit and Salah ad-Din, which Iraqi forces did manage to reconquer last spring. But it does look as if the U.S. is committed to that fight. And the way that it wants to do that is by bringing Sunni tribes on board, pretty much as it did almost a decade ago with the Sunni Awakening, when it managed to oust Al-Qaeda in Iraq, which at that point was the predecessor of Islamic State. It managed to win over Sunni tribes with weapons, with large amounts of money, and with training and sort of micromanagement. And if that was on offer again, it may be that Sunni tribes might again turn to U.S. forces. I think there are major questions as to whether the Iraqi government itself is willing to let that happen.
You've described in your reporting the financial stability of ISIS and just how flush with cash it is and how it's managed to diversify its economic strength. Give me a sense of the credibility of the leader of ISIS, Mr. al-Baghdadi, versus the credibility of the leader in Baghdad, Mr. al-Abadi.
I think it's very difficult to compare them to. Haider al-Abadi still claims to be the leader of all Iraqis. For a time, he was more popular amongst Sunnis than he was amongst his own, with his stated program of inclusiveness. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi is very much focused on the ideologues around him through a forced process of conversion and persuasion. The inclusive message that you hear from the authority, from Haider al-Abadi, is fundamentally different from the exclusive one that you hear from Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. That said, amongst their own, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi has some credibility as a religious figure. He has more of a kind of religious pedigree than does Haider al-Abadi, but their missions are I think, are fundamentally different. There is something about Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi which is grassroots. He hasn't been brought in with external backing, unlike Haider al-Abadi. But the degree to which Baghdadi can appeal to anybody beyond his own immediate circle, I think, is still pretty limited.
Nicholas Pelham is a writer for the New York Review of Books and The Economist. He's just recently returned from Baghdad. Nicholas, thanks so much.
Thank you.